Good morning, good morning. Welcome. Great to see you guys. My name is Justin. I'm one of the pastors here of our church. And if you have a Bible, you can grab it now. We're going to keep worshiping our God together by opening his word together. And so if you have a Bible, you can grab it and turn it to Philippians chapter 1. If you need a Bible, there should be some Bibles under the chairs in front of you. And Philippians 1 will be on page 1040 in those Bibles. And last week, we launched our Until the Day sermon series, which is actually kicking off our two-year discipleship journey together. And so last week, if you were here, you should have received one of these vision guides, and we asked if you could bring this back every single Sunday. And so let's see how many of you remembered this. Hold it up if you remembered it. Two, three, four. All right, a few of you. All right, hey, so if you brought it back, well done. Good job. If you didn't, or if you didn't receive one, you weren't here last week, there are some on that black table in the back of the room. Even if you already got one, you forgot it at home, grab another one. We printed up a bunch. Grab another one, because you'll need it for this whole sermon series to take some notes, to see where we're going for the next 2 years. If you run out of copies there, there's more in the lobby, but grab one. And then if you have it, turn in the back to the white pages where it says week two. We are on week two. And so we're just getting set and started in this two-year discipleship journey. And if you actually look back at week one, you see this wheel there, this kind of picture wheel of these areas. You're going to see it up on screen as well. And these are the areas that the pastors of our church have identified and said, man, these are the things that if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're here this morning and you are a Christian, you are already these things. This is who you are. This is who God has made you to be now. You've been resurrected to new life, been born again, and this is who you are. But these are also the areas we see in Scripture that God wants us to grow in. All right, we're not complete. We're still growing. We're still taking steps toward maturity and looking like Jesus. And so these are the areas that we identified and said, man, it would be amazing if over the next 2 years, God grew us as individuals in these areas and grew our whole church in some really significant ways. So we said, let's be focused on that. Let's make that a focus and initiative that we want to grow and take steps toward Jesus. And so we're going to look at each of these areas over the next 6 weeks, spending a whole Sunday talking about each one. And then on November 9th, when we're done with that, we're going to ask everybody who calls Harbor West home. If this is your church, we're going to ask every single one of you to actually make a commitment to grow in one or two max of these areas over the next 2 years. And so we're actually going to pass out some commitment cards and say, man, like, where is God leading you? Where is God leading you to say, man, I want to take some next steps as an influencer or as a giver, as a worker, as a receiver. I want to take some next steps as a worshiper or as a learner. And so this is an important Sunday because we're launching into studying these and seeing and praying and asking, God, where do you want me to take some next steps? We already have a halfway party planned for 1 year from now where we're going to get together as a church and we're going to celebrate all the ways we've seen God work in the next year. And then we have a two-year party, a conclusion wrap-up party planned for November of 2027 where all four of our churches will gather up and we'll see what God has done. We'll worship him and we'll be blown away by the beauty that he has produced in our lives and in our churches over the next 2 years. So this is where our church is going. Over the next 2 years, if you want to grow together in ways that you can't even imagine right now, it all starts here. And so, man, I hope you're excited about the journey. Hope you're excited about being filled with Jesus and giving some new, fresh, grace-driven effort to grow. Excited about encouraging each other and believing the best about each other, believing that God is going to do some incredible work in the other people sitting in this room. I hope you're excited about going all in and seeing what God will do over the next 2 years. And so let's pray and let's get started as we look at our first discipleship pathway here. Let's pray. And so Father, we pray that you would do this great work in us to open our eyes to see who you've made us to be and how you want us to grow. So by your grace, would you show us the areas that you want us to commit to, the areas that you want us to go all in and take next steps in. May we grow as being receivers until the day of Jesus. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So our theme verse for this series is in Philippians 1, verse 6. You can look at it right now in your Bibles. It says this, "I'm sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Jesus." That's saying that the good work that's going on in your life and my life, that good work was started by God. Maybe you've always thought of your story like, man, I was living in darkness. I was living in this world my own way. And then I got my act together. I pulled myself together. I started making good decisions. I started walking toward God, pursuing him. And that's how I found God and I found Jesus. And maybe it even felt like that. But what we actually see all over the Bible is that it's God who starts the good work in us. It's God who initiates. We may feel like we started the work of coming to God, but God started the work in us first. We just had to receive it. We respond to God's good work in our lives by receiving his good work. And God continues to work in our lives even after he saves us. And that's why Paul, when he's writing to this Philippian church here in Philippians, he's writing to a bunch of followers of Jesus, and he says this in verse 2. Look at verse 2. "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul doesn't tell these Christians, man, now go out and find some grace. He doesn't tell them to figure out how to get some peace. He says, man, both of these things are just given to us from God and Jesus. We just have to receive it. You see, what we see all over the Bible, we could look at so many more verses and we'll look at some. But what we see all over the Bible is this: we are receivers until the day. That's who we are. Today, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are a receiver until Jesus comes back. That's the position that you and I are in. We are receivers. And our ability to grow in our faith is tied to our ability and willingness to be receivers, to receive more and more of what God has given us. Our ability to recognize that we give nothing to God. He is self-sufficient. He has no needs. We can't add anything to him. To realize that there's nothing we can do to put God in our debt so that he owes us, but we are simply in the position of being receivers of all that he's done for us. That can be really hard because many of us are reluctant receivers at best, or we won't receive things at worst. Like recently, Heejung and I had some friends over to the house, and while they were over at the house, we remembered that we owed them some money. I think we owed them like $20. And so I went into my room, found $20, and I came out and I was like, oh, hey, by the way, we owe you that $20, you know, that we owe you. Here it is. Here's $20. And they're like, nah, we're good. And I was like, no. Like, we owe you. You gave us $20. This is the $20 we're just giving back to you that's yours. And they're like, yeah, we don't want it. I'm like, oh, so this is how it's going to be. And so the rest of the night, it was just this cat and mouse game. I tried to sneak it in the guy's pocket. We were watching a movie, I think, together. Tried to sneak it in his pocket. He stood up to go to the bathroom. He's like, what is this? Like, threw it, you know. And so then I tried to sneak it in some other places, found it in my kitchen somewhere. Like, it just bounced all over the house all night, back and forth. And then we remembered, like, oh, we have some of their Tupperware. So I put the $20 in the Tupperware, walked them to their car, and we're like, oh yeah, by the way, you forgot the Tupperware. Like, thanks for that. Yeah, see ya. And so it's like midnight, and we're standing like in the road in the dark. Everybody in our neighborhood's asleep, and we're waving, me and Heej, arm in arm, waving at this couple goodbye. And then we see the brake lights come on halfway down the road, and we see something throw out the window, and we're like, they threw our money out the window like crazy people. So I had to run and get this $20 off the ground. And so we're like, okay, it's going to be like this. So we got in and we got on Venmo. We're like, we're going to Venmo them. They'd already blocked us. Cash App blocked. Like, it's been a year. I still owe them $20, I think. And so, like, some of us are just reluctant receivers. And that's funny between friends. That's fine. But I mean, that's typically how we can be just in life in general. We're reluctant receivers. We don't receive anything. Because to be a receiver requires humility. Requires a lot of humility. Several years back, I decided I wanted to run the Honolulu Marathon, and so I was running it, and I made the decision, like, I want to do it all on my own. Like, I don't want to grab any of the water. I don't want to take any of the free gel packs. Like, I want to know that I can do it all by myself. And that sounded great until I got to mile 17 up in Hawaii Kai, and I thought I was actually dying. Like I was, my whole body gave out. I hit the wall. Apparently there's a wall you hit running a marathon. I hit a wall. Like it was just unbelievable. My whole body started to shut down. And so I started to walk and I just hung my head. And you know how people like they come out and they watch and they kind of cheer you on? Like I just must have looked like Charlie Brown or Linus or whoever it was that has his head down just walking. I was so defeated. And I looked up and I saw this really old Japanese man kind of out in his lawn, just watching us all, kind of cheering us on. And he locked eyes with me. And as I locked eyes with him, my sad eyes with him, he turned around and walked into his house. And I'm like, I'm causing people to give up even watching this thing. Like they don't even want to be around because they see how depressed I am. And so it made me even more depressed. But then a little bit later, he came waddling back out of his house and he reached out just as I started to pass him. He reached out his hand and he had a granola bar, a kudos bar in his hand. And he wagged it at me. And I told myself, I'm not receiving any help. I'm not doing it. I'm doing it on my own. And then I looked at him, my eyes like welled up with tears, and I was like, I'll take your kudos, man. And I took it, and man, it just gave me such a boost. It was a small, tiny kudos bar, but I think I'd be dead in Hawaii Kai right now if it weren't for that kudos bar. And so I don't know if you're here, old man, but thank you. Or if you're listening to our podcast, man, thank you. I've never thanked you. Thank you so much for giving me that kudos bar. It just kept me going. But I had to humbly say, I can't do this. I can't do this on my own. I need some help. And you see, many of us would rather keep struggling on our own than admit to God that we can't save ourselves. The gospel says that we're saved not because we're strong, but because God freely gave us a salvation that we don't deserve and can't earn. Salvation is a gift that must be received. And once you receive it, there's actually so many other things that you and I receive from God. And so I just want us to see that real quick. I want us to see what all we've received from God, because maybe you're here in the room today and you're like, yeah, I'm a Christian. I put my faith in Jesus, but maybe you don't realize all that you have, all that you've actually received. Maybe there's some Tupperware in your life that you're like, oh man, I didn't realize that was hidden in there that God gave me. And so I just want us to see from one passage some things that we've received from God, all of us here who are Christians this morning. And so flip over a few pages to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 is on page 1036 in those Bibles under the chairs in front of you. And I want us to read this passage and see seven things that we've received from God. Seven things that you have this morning if you are a Christian. All right? So let's start reading in verse 3. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in love before him. He predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ for himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Here's the first thing that Paul says we receive. We receive God's love. If you're here this morning, man, you are a recipient of God's love if you're in Christ. Because it says God chose us not randomly, not like a lottery, but look at the end of verse 4, in love. Before you were even born, God loved you. Now, like, imagine that you're a kid and your parents came to you and they're like, hey, we would love to take you to Disneyland in 6 months. In fact, we're gonna take you to Disneyland in 6 months, but we're only gonna do it if you're perfect for the next 6 months. And so you gotta come home from school every day without any marks in it. You gotta be perfect in school. Don't get nothing you've done wrong. You've gotta come home, do your homework at the table. You've gotta sit there quietly while you wait on dinner. And then you gotta eat all the food on your plate, bring it over, clean it, put it away, go shower yourself, brush your teeth, put yourself to bed. If you can be perfect for 6 months and not do anything wrong, we wanna take you to Disneyland. Now, maybe you hear that and you're like, oh man, what kind parents. No, that's torture. You're torturing your kids. That's torture. The weight of that, the stress of that on your kids would be unbearable. Would they even last an hour? But imagine if you came to them instead and said, hey, we know you're not perfect. We know you make mistakes. We know you do things wrong here and there, even some big things, significant things sometimes, but we love you and we want to bless you and we're going to take you to Disneyland. You see, that's the good news of the gospel. That's the good news of God's love, is he doesn't wait for us to be perfect. He doesn't wait for us to figure it all out to give us his love. He loves us in spite of our brokenness and our mess and our running away from him. When he chose us, he didn't choose us because we were good. He chose us simply because he loves us. And so, man, we gather every week to celebrate that not that we're good people or not that we figured it out. We celebrate that God poured out his love on us and chose to pour out that love on us. You are a receiver of God's love. But you're also a receiver of what verse 4 says. He chose us, look what it says, to be holy and blameless. You're a receiver of God's work in your life. Because God loved you and chose you to be holy and blameless, two things that he knows it's impossible for you and I to do. It's impossible for you and I to do unless he does it in us. And so we're actually receivers of his work in our lives. See, God didn't just rescue us in order to go to heaven and be with him. He chose us and loved us so that we could change right now. What we see over and over in the Bible is that sin robs us of the joy and happiness in life that we could be experiencing. But God comes in and actually transforms us and gets that sin out of our lives progressively as we follow him so that we can experience more of the joy and peace and life that God has for us. See, many people think that the church is actually oppressive. It makes people change who they are. But what we see in the Bible is that God wants us to be supremely happy, supremely joyful in this life, but sin kills that. And so the good news is that God is working in our lives, transforming us to be who we were always supposed to be. We've received that from God, his work in our lives. We've also received what it says in verse 5. He predestined us to be, look at this next word, adopted. Adopted. He's predestined us to be his sons. We've received adoption. In the whole Old Testament, there's only 14 times, I think, where God is referred to as Father. For many, many years, that wasn't a way of that people really thought about God as their Father. But when Jesus came, Jesus, the perfect revelation of who God is, Jesus called God Father 60 times. 60 times to show us, man, this is who God really is to us. In fact, when Jesus' followers said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to talk to God. What were Jesus' first words? Our Father. And the word that Jesus uses there wasn't the word for like the formal, like Father, hello, Father, with a firm handshake. It was the kiddie word for daddy. I love the fact I have 4 kids under the age of 7, and the 3 that can talk call me Dada, and I love that. One of them the other day slipped out, and then they said, hey, Dad, and I was like, oh, like it just hurt my heart. I was like, no, don't do it. I want them to be graduating from high school, giving their valedictorian speech and saying, my Dada has always loved me. Like, that's what I want. And that's what Jesus did. That's how Jesus addressed God, his Father. He called him Dada. You see, one theologian said this, it's one of my favorite quotes, it's up on the screen. He said, if you want to see how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he celebrates the thought of being God's child and having God as his Father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls his worship and prayers and his whole outlook on life, it means that he doesn't understand Christianity very well at all. Our understanding of Christianity cannot be better than our grasp of adoption. See, what this realizes is the reality that when we understand that God is our Dada, that he's adopted us as his children, that fuels our joy. It makes us celebrate. We sing differently. We praise differently. We live differently when we know we've been completely brought into a new family, when we've received adoption into God's family. And man, how does God treat his kids? Look at verse 6. To the praise of his glorious grace, he lavished on us, his kids, in the beloved one. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace, that he, richly poured out on us with all wisdom and understanding. Lavished grace, richly poured out. Here's what this means. God gives us grace generously, extravagantly, overflowing in our lives. When you're adopted into God's family, you receive God's blessings. You receive God's blessings. He's just pouring it out more and more. He's giving us this grace, these blessings in life that we don't deserve. That's what grace is, God giving us what we don't deserve. Well, the question is, what do we actually deserve from God? What do we, according to our actions, what do we deserve from God? Well, look what Romans 6 says. It says, for the wages of sin is death. What that's saying there is what we deserve because of our sin is death. That story goes back to Genesis when God created us in his image and created us to live in his world beautifully with him and with each other and with creation. And we collectively as humanity and our first parents raised our fist at God and said, no, we don't want that. We want to live in your creation our own way. We want to pursue our own pursuits. We want to figure it out on our own. We sinned. We turned our back on God and ran away from him. And the consequences of that, the fallout, the wages, what we deserve because of that is death, separation from God. But look how the verse goes on. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We deserve death. We deserve to be separated from God. But it says that God gives us a free gift, eternal life, grace, a gift that we couldn't earn or deserve. And all over the Bible, we see that God just keeps lavishing more and more of his grace, more and more of his gifts that we don't deserve. God just keeps blessing his kids with more and more. If you're a Christian, you are in a position to receive all of the blessings of God in your life. And the most incredible one that you receive might be in verse 7, where it says, in him we have redemption. Redemption. You and I are receivers of redemption. What does that mean? What does it mean to be redeemed? It's when something is being held ransom and you have to pay to get it back. So when I was in high school, I'm the oldest of three brothers, and my younger brother, I think when I was a junior, senior in high school, my younger brother was like first or second grade. And so one day I was going to play some golf with my friends, and so I'd found my keys, I'd done my chores, I was ready to go, and so but I couldn't find my wallet. And so I needed my wallet to drive, and I needed my wallet to pay for the golf. And so my friends were waiting. I was late. I'd torn my room up. I'd torn the house apart, and I had no idea where my wallet was. And so I don't know if your family's like this, but in my family, there was one person who knew where everything was in the house, and that was my younger brother. And so you'd always go to Hunter if you needed to find something. So I went to him, and I'm like, Hunter, man, I don't know where my wallet is. I can't find it. Do you know where it is? He's like, nah, I can't help you. And I was like, well, okay, can you help me? And if you find it, man, that would help me so much. Can you please help me find it? He goes, nah, busy. And I was like, well, you're in first grade. You got nothing to do. And I was like, please help me, man. Please will you help me? I'll do anything. Just please help me find my wallet. And he goes, oh yeah? What will you give me if I find it? And I was like, what? Well, you want some? What do you? I'll give you a stick of gum. Like, what do you want? I don't know. And he's like, will you give me, if I find it, will you give me all the money in your wallet? And I was like, I think there was like 30 or 40 bucks in there. So I was like, oh, okay, sure, fine. If you help me find it real quick. And he goes, you promise? I'm like, yeah, man, yes, just help me find it. I think I had to shake his hand and promise. And so once I did, I followed him. He walked up the basement stairs to the main floor of our house, walked up the next flight of stairs to where all of our bedrooms were, walked into my bedroom, stood at my dresser, went down to the bottom left drawer, pulled it open, reached in the back, grabbed a random sock, reached into that sock and said, here you go. And gave me my wallet. And I reluctantly looked at him, grabbed out the money, and paid the price to get my wallet back, and never trusted him again. I paid the ransom. I got it back. And that's what God did for you and me. God paid the price to get you back from your and my sin and rebellion and consequences and fallout. God himself paid the price. And look at what it says. The price that he paid was his blood. It wasn't $30 or $40, it was his blood. When we gather together as a church, we are gathering to celebrate every Sunday that Jesus poured out his blood to death for us. The price to pay for your and my sin and rebellion and rejection of God so that we could be with God, so that we could come all the way back home was the blood of Jesus. And he paid that price. And so now when we gather to celebrate that, when we gather to sing hallelujah, what were the songs we just sang? Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me, living hope that we just sang. Like, man, when we gather to celebrate, we're joining in a song that's already being sung. Listen to the song in Revelation 5 that's being sung right now in heaven to Jesus. Worthy are you to take the scroll and open it, for you were slain, and by your blood you have ransomed a people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. To him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. That song is being sung right now in heaven. And when you and I come together and join our voices in that song, we're joining and rightly acknowledging that we've been ransomed by Jesus. He paid the price to bring us into God's family. And so, man, we praise God that we are receivers of his redemption, but we're also receivers, look at this verse also, of forgiveness, the forgiveness of our trespasses. There's songs all over the Bible celebrating our forgiveness. Look at just one of them in Isaiah 44. God says, I have swept away your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like a mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Rejoice, heavens, for the Lord has acted. Shout, depths of the earth, break into singing, mountains, forests, and every tree in it. Look at this verse real quick. It says this, God acted. And when God acted, what happened? You and I receive forgiveness. And what's the result of that? All of creation sings praise to God. It's not just the angels in heaven that are singing praise to God. It's all of creation that's crying out, singing praise to God. And so who are we to not join in that song? Man, we should be joining in that song. God has rescued us. God has saved us. God has forgiven us. The weight that you and I once carried of our guilt and our shame and our rebellion against God, it's gone. It's lifted like a cloud that's been blown away, like a mist that's no longer there. God has taken care of it. And the world rejoices. That's something we gather to celebrate every Sunday. This is a place to let our joy and excitement out for receiving forgiveness. Look at the last one in verse 14. It says, the Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the possession. Here's what we see here, that we are receivers of God's protection. Because it says we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, sealed by God himself. Look at these seven things up here. These things that we have because of Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you're a Christian here this morning, you have these seven things. And what verse 14 says is this, you don't even have to worry about losing it. It says you've been sealed by the Spirit, sealed by God himself. Not even you and I can mess this up because God has sealed it for us. It's what Paul says in Romans 8, where he says, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, rulers, things present, things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, that's everything, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I mess up so much in this life. I mess up so many of my relationships. I mess up so many things. I can't mess up my salvation. And neither can you. Because it's God who started the work and it's God who seals the work. That's how secure you are. That's how protected you are. That's why Paul ends this whole section. If you look at this up here, this is who you are, what you've received. That's why Paul ends this whole section. Look at the last words of verse 14. To the praise of his glory. Man, when you look at all that, how can you not celebrate? How can we not celebrate how glorious God is? These are the blessings that we have received this morning. They are ours right now. In fact, the way Paul writes this section, it's actually a good way to kind of self-evaluate. It's actually a bit of an indicator. Are you able to come here this morning and sing about your living hope, sing about Christ being enough, sing the songs that we sing, and does it stir in your heart? Do you want to sing praise to his glorious grace? You see, if you're like, man, I don't know, I'm not really excited about any of this. I don't know, I just kind of hear. I'll stand and just kind of hear it, but this stuff doesn't really excite me. It might be because you haven't received it. Because the way Paul writes this, he says this, if we've received these things, then these are the things that are gonna start to captivate us and it's the heartbeat of our lives and they just excite us to the point where we should gather every Sunday just ready to burst with excitement about who we are and what we've received from God. But these seven things aren't gonna excite everyone. Not everyone is going to celebrate these things because not everyone has received these things. Did you notice who it says has received all this? Back in verse 3, look what it says. God has blessed us in Christ. In Christ. These blessings are given to every person who is in Christ. Look back down at the whole passage. Look down at your Bibles. I'm going to move really quick, but just let your eyes follow me as you look in God's word. Verse 4, for he chose us in him. That's Jesus. Verse 5, he predestined us to be adopted through Jesus. Verse 6, he lavished on us in the beloved one. That's Jesus. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, Jesus's blood. Verse 9, he purposed in Christ. Verse 10, to bring everything together in Christ. Verse 11, in him we've received an inheritance. Verse 12, so that we who'd already put our hope in Christ. Verse 13, in him you were sealed. Verse 14, to the praise of his glory. Do you see? It's only if we've received Jesus that we have any of these other things. The good news of what we've received from God is all about Jesus. It's because of Jesus that we can celebrate. It's because of Jesus that we receive all of God's blessings. So man, if you gather to sing about Jesus, your living hope, and you're like, man, I don't know, I just don't feel it. A great question to ask would be this: have I received Jesus? Have I personally, me, have I received Jesus in my life? Because if so, man, you should be ready to burst and celebrate these things. If you're wondering, man, is Harbor West the place where I can sing out and sing loudly? Is Harbor West the place where I can shout and dance and kneel down and weep and just let out what's in me for the joy of this? The answer is absolutely. The church is absolutely that place. And I get it. You might be here and you're like, I don't know. No one else is really doing that. And people might look at me and judge me and think that's weird. Maybe, but who cares? Who cares? If this is what you've received, man, let out the joy that's in there. Let it out, man. Last night we gathered all four of our churches at a prayer night and people were screaming and like hooting and hollering. It's like we were in the South in like a Southern church. We gathered in Honolulu and people were just screaming out and crying out and bursting into tears and excitement for who God is. You can absolutely do that here and anytime the church gathers. This is the only place where really that makes sense to just burst out and say, yes, we remember together who we are and what we have received. Because by nature, we are receivers. And man, if we want to grow in our faith by receiving more and more of these blessings of God, the question is, how do we grow as receivers? How do we grow as receivers? This is where we're going to end. I Googled that. I said, I just Googled the question, how do we grow as receivers? And it gave me this answer. It said, run better, crisper routes and work on your hand muscles. All right, that's what it said. So I had to dig a little deeper. How do we grow as receivers? Well, God may show up for us out of nowhere and overwhelm us by his grace when we weren't even looking for it, but God also has his normal, regular, routine means of pouring out his blessings on us. He has his regular ways, and he tells us to put ourselves on the path to receive his blessings. That's something we can all choose to do. Put ourselves on a path to receive the blessings of God. And so what is that path? He gives us three very normal means of his grace where we can grow as receivers: his word, prayer, and each other. His word, prayer, and each other. And so I'm going to say this a different way, because if you're like, okay, man, this is where I need to grow. This is my one for the next 2 years until the day. I need to grow as a receiver. Maybe you're someone this morning that you're like, man, I try to work for God. I try to earn God's love. I try to put him in my debt. And I just need to grow as a receiver of what God has already done for me. Here's the three ways I think you could grow over the next 2 years. Number one, show up. We grow as receivers by showing up. In Hebrews 10, it says this: let us draw near. So here's what Hebrews 10 is saying. Let us grow. Let us draw near to God. And how do we do that? Not neglecting to gather together. That's one way we put ourselves on the path of experiencing God's blessings in our life. We say, man, I'm not going to neglect the gathering of God's people. I'm going to show up. I'm going to be there every Sunday. I'm going to put myself under God's word so I can hear it, the normal means of how we receive God's blessing. I'm going to hear his word every Sunday. I'm going to join my voice in the songs that we sing and remembering what I have and what I've received. I'm going to show up. I'm going to show up so that I don't miss communion, the little meal that we come up to and we receive it together. Literally, we're going to come up in a few minutes and we're going to come up empty-handed to this table and we're going to receive the work of Jesus for us. And so what's the normal means of us just growing as receivers? Man, we show up. Maybe over the next 2 years, you're like, yeah, I need to grow in that. In fact, you could ask yourself the question, what are the reasons that would come up and crop up in your life where you would say, yeah, I'm going to skip today. I'm not going to go. Maybe by identifying some of those reasons, you're actually identifying some of the idols in your life that need to be dethroned. And you'd say, okay, I'm going to rightly enthrone God. And over the next 2 years, I'm going to work on reprioritizing my life so that Sunday morning is clear. So that when God's people gather, I am there and I'm placing myself on the path to be a receiver. The other way, devoting ourselves to God's word, but devoting ourselves to prayer. Man, pray often. If this is the one that you're like, yeah, I want to grow in this, then over the next 2 years, you'd be committing to say, I want to grow in prayer. Mark 11 tells us this. Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, everything you pray and ask for, believe that you have, look at it, received it, and it'll be yours. We place ourselves in a posture of being receivers when we pray. When we come to God and say, God, my dependence is on you in all of life. I can't do it on my own. I can't get through this day on my own. I need you and your grace and your empowerment. And so, man, we have prayer nights at our church. Again, last night we gathered all four churches, maybe 200 of us gathered and just called out on our dependence on God together. We have our normal rhythms of daily prayer, of praying without ceasing and praying throughout your day. This morning at 8 a.m., we had our prayer team gather up outside of our space and they prayed for you. You've been prayed for today by people in our church. There's about eight to 10 people who gather up at the 8 a.m. service and they sit out there the whole service and they pray for our gatherings throughout the day. They pray for you as receivers of God's word. You were prayed for today that you would receive this message and God would work in your life maybe before you even got out of bed. And if you're like, man, I need to grow in that. I need to grow in placing myself in a position to be prayerfully dependent and receive from God. Maybe that's a great way to say, man, I'll be a part of this prayer team. I'll be a part of this growing prayer team at Harbor, or I'll figure out how to commit to daily prayer. But over the next 2 years, maybe you know you need to grow in that because that's just a normal way that God says we receive his blessings. We show up, we pray often, and here's the third way. We be known. Be known. So look at those. We said that the normal means of God's grace are his word, prayer, and each other. His word, prayer, and each other. This is the be known. So look at Acts 2, what the early church did, these early people who followed Jesus. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, that's the word, to the fellowship, that's each other, to the breaking of bread and prayer. To fellowship. They devoted themselves to fellowship. Look at these very normal things that the early church said, we're just gonna commit to these things. We're gonna commit to it. We're not gonna let anything get in the way of it. And this early church God sent out into the world to turn the world upside down. And so when we commit to growing as receivers, one thing we're committing to is committing to each other, committing to saying, man, I'm going to show up and be known by you. And now listen, our church is too big for us to be known by each other on Sunday mornings. It's why we have our 9 community groups, to put ourselves into smaller groups where we can be known and know each other. Maybe you're here this morning, you're like, yeah, I've never taken that step. I've never taken that step to be truly known at this church. And so maybe that's how you can grow until the day as a receiver to say, yeah, I'm going to take that step in faith to be known. Or maybe it's, you know, we have 101 covenant members here at our church who have said, yes, I want to be known as deeply and fully as I can. I want to be prayed for and cared for as a member of this church, which looks different. And so 101 people have said, yes, I want to be known and be a member. And maybe that's something that you've said, I've never wanted to do that, or I've never taken that step. And maybe a way that you could grow in the next 2 years, say, yeah, I'm gonna pursue that. I'm gonna go to next steps and pursue what it looks like to be a member here. These will be the things you'll be challenged to take next steps and grow in if you want to grow as a receiver until the day. But listen, John 1:16 says this, "Indeed, we have all received grace upon grace from his fullness." It's there. We've all received it. We've all received grace upon grace. Let's grow as receivers until the day that Jesus returns. And so let's pray together.